perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond, and thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us today. I want to remind you that as the year is kind of winding up, we still have many different opportunities for you to be able to give to our ministry. And you can head over to Facebook.com and check out Patchwork Heart Ministry on Facebook. We have a year-end giving campaign right now for that. We also have our website you can donate on, patchworkheart.org. And we really want you to engage with us as well. I want to remind you that we also have a Advent devotional out that is a novena that begins on the 15th of December and goes through December 24th, called a Contemplative Las Posadas. Think about getting that. There's many different ways that you can get that devotional through our website, on Amazon. It even has an ebook version as well. So check it out, and we look forward to connecting with you and you connecting with us in our ministry as we continue to grow here and step into 2020. I know that's kind of a scary thought to say 2020, but hope you're having a great Advent and things are going well for you. Now, today I am so blessed to be joined by my friend Kendra Von Esch once again. I think this is like the sixth time you've been on, Kendra. It's always an amazing Holy Spirit-led conversation, and I know that this will probably be like one of like 100 million episodes that we do. So Kendra is a speaker, TV news anchor, radio host, and author who has a passion to motivate others to deepen their relationship with God and the Catholic faith. Kendra, welcome to the program, and thanks so much for being here again.
Well, praise God. I am so happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, Kendra, you have an amazing story to tell, and a story that I'm kind of woven into a little bit of it. Over the past month or so, you've really come alive in the Holy Spirit, and I can attest to that for a good weekend of it, but there's so much more to the story. So I want to just ask you a little bit about the progression of this amazing deepening of the Holy Spirit that you've encountered.
Where do I begin? And you are definitely woven into this. Are you kidding? We could even say patchworked right into my life here to put a little pun on your ministry. Oh, gosh, Bill, I just want to share with everyone a little bit about the beginning of my experience and devotion with the Holy Spirit and my exposure to what people, the gifts and the charisms and the charismatic movement. So in the beginning, don't worry, it won't be as long as the Bible, but I would say my journey hasn't been that long. We're talking 6.5 years, and I started deepening my relationship with God through prayer. Most of my journey has been very typical. Go to Mass, go to daily Mass, go to confession every week, deep mental meditative prayer, start going to Latin Mass and experiencing an even deeper and different type of celebration of the Holy Eucharist and the sacrifice of the Mass. So I was down this path for quite some time. And then about 2 years ago in the summer, I attended the Catholic Marketing Network. And I was talking with a couple women who introduced me to a Franciscan brother from EWTN. I mean, clearly this guy is holy. And we just started talking and he said, you know what, let me pray for you. And he laid his hands on my shoulders and the other two women laid their hands on my shoulders. And I was kind of sitting there going, what's this all about? And then after the English, he started making all of these ticking sounds like tick, 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 tick. And I freaked out. I was like, what in the heck is going on? Because I think, like, is this evil? This can't be evil. This guy's a Franciscan brother for EWTN. What in the world? I was so uncomfortable standing there, like, please let me run. But I didn't. And I never thought to ask, what the heck was that? I just chalked it up as, I don't know, maybe that's what they do in the Franciscan movement. I have no idea. So I'm like, all right, well, that was interesting. And then I met a woman from Ave Maria Press who was talking to me about my first book and publishing it, maybe my second book. And so while we're on the phone, she asks me if I'm charismatic. I have no idea that there's a charismatic movement in the church. And so I answered, yeah, I think I'm pretty charismatic, like as if it were this adjective describing me, you know, like that's why I'm out there speaking about the faith, because I have so much emotion and joy about it. Well, she must have thought I was a complete idiot because I didn't even know about the charismatic movement. As a matter of fact, when I found out about it, I thought, wow, I'm just Catholic. You know, I don't label myself. I'm not a, you know, a Latin mass person. I'm not this kind of a charismatic person. I'm a Catholic at the end of the day. I thought, why are people in all these different movements? So this was an education on all of the different movements in the church. And then in November last year, November is a pivotal time of my life. And it just so happened to be my birthday weekend, both Novembers, that I had an amazing experience with the Spirit. So last November, while I'm speaking at a conference, they mention we're going to have a healing mass. And I thought, oh, I'm sorry, a healing service, wasn't a mass. It was a healing service. And I've been asked to healing services many times during that year last year. And I always turned them down because I thought, I don't need healing. I'm not sick. I have no idea what a healing mass is. I think it's a physical ailment, like the anointing of the sick sometimes that you get from the priest in church or you receive on sure. certain days. So I've turned it down, but I figured, hey, I'm here. I'm at the conference, so I might as well go. And sure enough, they're saying, oh, you know, don't call 911 if people fall down to the ground, they're not having a heart attack. And I'm thinking, what? These are those crazy Jesus freaks that I was running away from my entire life. Like, what is going on? So I looked at a woman that was sitting next to me, and I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. I said, oh, dude, this is nuts. And so there's about 800 people at this conference, and there are 6 different people with healing gifts, and 3 of them are priests. So I decide I am going to go to the priest that's in the wheelchair, because I have heard before people – this actually, I didn't hear this at this point, but I heard this after. Like, people were like, oh, sometimes people pray over me, and they're wanting to push me down with my shoulders or my head – to make me fall to the ground. That was after, by the way. But I went to the guy in the wheelchair, the priest in the wheelchair, because he was the only one that I knew out of this group. And I knew that he was well-respected and a very, very holy man. So I decide I'm going to be at the back of the line, and I'm just going to watch all of these idiots fall down, call them out, faker, nothing happened to you, you know, like just kind of observe, if you will, so that when it comes to me, I know what's going on. Well, sure enough, I'm the number 2 at the back of the line. And they say, all right, you know what? We're going to move all the healing people to the other side of the conference. So just turn around in your line. So now I'm number 2. I look up. I literally lifted my eyes to the sky, and I said, really, God? Ah, like, what are you doing to me here? So here the priest is in his wheelchair, and there's 3 of us and a half moon around him. And the woman to my right, I'm in the center, he puts his hands up, palms up, and she puts her hands on his. And he says, think of Jesus. And she doesn't fall. But I'm starting to feel weird. Something's happening to me. I don't quite know. And then he spins to me, puts his palms up. I put mine on his, and he says, think of Jesus. And before he says Jesus, I'm falling back into this woman's arms, and she's laying me on this concrete ground with that indoor-outdoor carpeting that you find at conference halls. And I'm on the ground, and I'm thinking, what is going on? And soon I kind of liquefy, and it's like gravity just sucked me into the ground, and I was gone. My body, I couldn't feel. It wasn't painful. It was the most peaceful I have ever been in my entire life. And I just laid there. People are walking over my head, over my arms, over my body, and I could care less. I was just like, what? But I had no idea what it was. So finally, after a while, actually, I tried to force myself up, and the priest saw me pushing myself up, like pulling the top of my torso off the ground. And he put his hand out as to say, stop. And he said, lay down. So I said, okay. And I just laid back down, and I didn't have a clue what was happening to me. So let me just tell you what happened the second night. I don't know. I think I was down on the ground for 15 minutes, but the peace was amazing. I couldn't move a muscle, but I was just in awe of what was happening to me. I was aware that I was there, but I couldn't feel anything in my body. The second night, same thing. Healing service in the evening, but I spoke that day. So I was out in the lobby getting video testimonials, and all of a sudden someone comes busting out saying, hey, do you have, you know, Father XYZ's number? And I said, yeah, it's in my phone in the conference hall. And they said, go get it. So I open up the door. Everyone is praying around this woman on the ground. She's probably in her mid-20s. And I hear, Jesus, Jesus. You know, it wasn't like this really spooky voice. It was her voice. So I get the phone, and I'm all of a sudden thinking, what is going on? And so I learned that she was actually going through an exorcism process in a different diocese, came to this conference, and the evil within her was manifesting itself. Again, not exposed to any of this in my life ever. So this weekend is a moment where I absolutely know that God is real, and I have physically, spiritually felt him in me. And I absolutely know that there is evil in this world, and I've seen it manifesting in somebody else. So I run home that night, that Sunday night, and I pull out my video camera. I mean, you know, I'm out there on social. I'm doing videos all the time, trying to spread the word and the amazing graces and transformation that God has done in me. And sure enough, I publish it, basically sharing the whole thing, like, oh my gosh, this was a game changer for me. This was so cool. And then I receive some responses from some people. Hey, watch out for that charismatic movement, that Pentecostal movement. It's heretical. You're putting your soul at risk to go to hell. And it shocked and rocked my world, because I thought, I know what I felt. I know that experience that I was feeling on the ground was nothing but peace and love. And finally, when I got home, I looked up what resting in the spirit, you can call it slain in the spirit, what it was. I was being healed. I was seriously going through some stuff, and I went through confession at that conference, real confession. I mean, I was heartfelt, saying, God, I am done with this. I do not want this in my life. So I truly felt that that was possibly one of the main reasons I was resting in the spirit that day, was because God was going to give me the grace of true healing. And by the way, if people have gone to these healing services and have not rested in the spirit, God is still inside you. The Holy Spirit is still healing you. And I'll stop with one more little thing and let you breathe and get something in here. But after I rested and was done that day, so to speak, right? I thought, okay, that's it. That was so cool. Man, I got to go to another healing mass or a healing service. I didn't need to. It is still with me, that calming peace. My heightened awareness of Jesus's body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist and in adoration and just in prayer for the last year has continued to stay with me. There have been times when I've been on my knees at Mass thinking, oh my gosh, I am so relaxed. I can barely feel my body. And I just say to God, please don't make me fall out of this pew. You know, like, I don't want to be resting in the spirit in front of all these people, but it is amazing. And I just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I don't know why I have this beautiful gift, but I am accepting it with full love and sharing it as far and wide as I possibly can.
And I know there are so many people out there listening to this podcast and listening to this radio show that may have encountered something like that and may have seen it from a distance. As Kendra has described, hey, what are these weirdos doing? I want to encourage you to do exactly what Kendra did and push in a little bit more and seek it a little bit more. And we're going to take a break. And then on the other side of this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Kendra and really let her continue the story. Because, you know, as you said, you know, you get a lot of outside forces sometimes that say, oh, this is heretical, this is bad, this is whatever. But it takes time to learn the truth and know the truth, especially, and make sure it is the truth. So I want to pull that out of Kendra on the other side of this break. I want to remind you, you are listening to Young Catholics Respond here, and we'll be right back after these messages. I'm Bill Snyder.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder, and we are talking with Kendra Von Esch on today's episode. And, man, what an incredible and powerful experience of the Holy Spirit she's had, really, over the past year or so in her life, but even more so in the past couple of months. She's come into a deeper awareness and an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and really an encounter of the truth of who the Holy Spirit is and how He can actively work in our lives. And before I ask Kendra a little bit about that, I want to set a little bit of context for you, certainly her personal context of the healing services and all of that really sets a beautiful context for what will happen next in her story. But I want to read to you what the Church officially says about charisms, because, again, there is a lot of misnomers, a lot of different things that'll come up from people. This isn't true, this isn't right, but we got to turn to the authorities of the Church in order to be able to explain the charisms and what they are. So I'm just going to read to you a little bit from the Catechism. I'm going to begin with verse 799 or paragraph 799, and it says this: whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the Church, ordered as they are to her building up, to the good of men, and to the needs of the world. Charisms are to be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them and by all members of the Church as well. They are a wonderfully rich grace for the apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ, provided they really are genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit and are used in full conformity with the authentic promptings of the same Spirit, that is, in keeping with charity, the true measure of all charisms. It is in this sense that discernment of charisms is always necessary. No charism is exempt from being referred and submitted to the Church's shepherds. Their office is not intended to extinguish the Spirit, but to test all things and to hold fast to what is good, so that all the diverse and complementary charisms work together for the common good. So, Kendra, you know, I know I shared this with you a few weeks ago on our car ride home from this conference that you're going to talk about next, but I want to ask you a little bit about how you came into the awareness of that truth, of what the Church teaches about charisms.
So, I guess... I've read these. I know this. I just didn't understand it. So when I talked to you about a year ago, you and I was just sharing with you. As a matter of fact, I invited you to my table at the Relevant Radio luncheon. And I was sharing with you all of this amazing stuff that was happening at with the Holy Spirit. And it was at that moment, I think, that you probably tucked that in the back of your head. And I don't know, a few months later, I think it was in the spring, I remember exactly where I was driving in the car. And you had called me and you had said, I feel like based on your experience and devotion to the Holy Spirit, so I started reading up on the Holy Spirit. I had daily devotionals to the Holy Spirit. I realized, okay, wait, the poured out Spirit of God is within us. Like Jesus and the Father are in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is in us. And that is what I want, more of this, right? And you know, I did a little bit of research on it, but I didn't kind of dive in as much to the charism. So that was still a bit. Okay, I was looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those aren't the charisms. So for me at that moment, I didn't quite connect or go that next level, because that was when I started finding out about tongues and seeing more people that were speaking in tongues, like through Shalom World, right? So I'm their news anchor and they're all speaking in tongues. And that was my second experience with people speaking something weird. And so, you know, for me, I started slowly but surely getting exposed to it. And then when you called me that one day and you said, I really think I need to invite you and nominate you to be a part of the National Service Committee, maybe you could share what this is and why you decided to extend that invite. That might be better coming from you.
Yeah, Kendra. So the NSC Council is a part of the National Service Committee for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And it is a group of people that work in partnership with the National Service Committee to foster the grace of Pentecost in the life and mission of the Catholic Church. And so basically, I recognize that you had a certain gift and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I said, I'm going to nominate her. I'm going to ask her if I can nominate her to be a part of this leadership group that helps the National Service Committee work and spread the grace of Pentecost throughout the Catholic Church in the United States. And that was where I called you.
Yep. And I said, let me pray on it. And I felt uncomfortable because of what I kept hearing in my head. That's heretical. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I was uninformed. But I thought, well, what other better way to be informed than to go to this and to be a part of this and to learn about what this is all about? So I got back to you. I accepted. And then lo and behold, you and I spend 4 hours on the way there in the car and 4 hours on the way back. 4 hours on the way there, I'm doing nothing but asking you questions, learning. We get there. And by the way, my experience from a physical and spiritual perspective had changed about a month and a half prior to this November conference. Again, my birthday weekend, pivotal, miraculous spiritual things happened to me. But a month and a half before that, I started feeling this whoosh, like this wave of it's not electricity. It's deeper than that. And it's a couple of seconds. And there was one time where I was practicing mental prayer and I just kept saying, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. And all of a sudden, this amazing wave of power just kept wishing through my, I guess I could explain it like going down a roller coaster when your stomach drops, but then it spreads all throughout my body. Sometimes it's more intense. This time I was in my bedroom. I wasn't in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I kept saying, oh my gosh, God, stop. Like, I can't take it anymore. This is so intense, but it was awesome. And then he kind of stopped and I'm like, well, wait a minute, God, if this is you, I want more, you know, like, if this is you, this is what my spiritual director said in terms of testing the spirit, not through the magisterium necessarily of people in authority, but myself discerning, is this of God and is this of, or is this not of God? Because Satan can come in those forms, and you need to be sure that you are experiencing the Lord. So I said, if this is you, God, I want more. Whoosh. I'm just going to call it whoosh for lack of English words to describe it.
Exactly.
Whoosh, it comes, and whoosh, it comes. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I just cry, and I'm thinking, are you healing me? Are you healing me? Whoosh. And so sure enough, those feelings would come pretty frequently, but there were other times when I'm going about my day and I'm feeling the whoosh and I'm not paying any attention because I'm busy. I'm doing stuff, right? I'm not silent or anything. So again, it's a month and a half of this and I'm loving it. It's peaceful afterwards. I mean, it's definitely energizing, but then afterwards there's that calm peace. So I still haven't lost that kind of resting peace either. So that was where I take this experience in with me to the conference. And I'm uncomfortable. I'm still not logically there. Everyone's praying in tongues. I'm meeting some amazing on fire people. There is zero question in my mind that these people love Jesus, that these people are, you know, devoted to living in the Spirit and are on fire in a way that I was not really. I didn't open myself to it. And that's what I had kept saying every single day I would walk in. There's only 2 days that we were in there, but every time I would walk in from a break, I'm like, okay, open your mind, open your mind, open your mind. Like, God, if this is the truth and this is what you want of me, I want this then. And so I think, honestly, Satan was on the other side, giving me those memories of that, this is heretical, you're going to go to hell if you do this, because I'm pretty sure Satan didn't want me to get any closer in my relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, oh boy, if she figures this one out, there she goes, you know, spouting it out to the rest of the world. So at the end of it all, I finally asked this woman that I met who was on the council. It was her first year. So I sat down with this woman who went over 1 Corinthians 12. And explained it in a way that hit my logical mind. And that was the big difference where you and I have talked many times. Go from the head to the heart, from the head to the heart. And then I prayed this beautiful Father Michael Scanlon prayer to baptize myself in the Holy Spirit, which I know has happened millions of times already, right? But I finally went through a please baptize me in the Spirit. And then we ended with, and Lord, if you would like to give me the gift of tongues, I would gladly accept. And so before you knew it, I was sitting in the hallway of a hotel right in front of the elevator speaking in tongues. I was floored. And guess what? I knew it was of God because this weight lifted off of my body. I was in such peace. I started crying. I'm a crier. Maybe I got those gifts of the Holy Spirit tears, but I just sat there and I was like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for showing me that this is you. You know, it was almost as if the fear of this quote unquote charismatic movement and the fact that I might go to hell, you know, the fog was lifted, but there was still a little bit of fog there. And I clarify that in my 5-day retreat that came the week after. And I don't know if we've got enough time to get into that this episode, or
no,
if we've got to do another show.
We have to do another show, but I'll leave it right there because it's amazing your story and journey, and it'll make everybody tune in for the next week.
the
ultimate teaser. Thanks, Kendra, for being here. Thank you so much for, sharing the story. I love your openness. I love your willingness and your open heart. It has been just a pleasure talking to you today. And so look forward to having you back on next week because our listeners need to hear the remainder of the story.
Awesome. I can't wait. Thanks, Bill. God bless you. Seriously, I owe you so much.
Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.